Chris Rett. Welcome back to Belfast.
Thanks for having us.
I say that, I mean, you played Mandela Hall just over a year ago now. Tonight, you're playing the Waterfront, which is a significantly bigger venue, certainly proof of how much your fan base is constantly expanding over here. Have you been surprised at how quickly your career has taken off over here?
Yeah, very, very much so, because in Belfast and in Glasgow and in parts of London, Manchester, like everywhere we've played on this tour have been significantly bigger places than we played last year.
Yeah.
So it really is cool to know that even the little bit of play that we get over here, it translates in a way. And so I hope that when we play shows, you know, people are going and telling their friends, like, hey, when he comes back, you'll have to come. And and hopefully, you know, that's what makes people come out to the Waterfront tonight and get to enjoy a good show. And if you haven't seen Old Dominion as well, it makes for a very, very high-packed, lots of hits in a show. So we're very excited to continue to come back and keep growing the fan base.
We're in the midst of a hot streak. There are a lot of country singers over here at the minute. I know I met Ryan and Maren in Dublin on Sunday.
Yeah.
Brothers Osborne, Cadillac 3, Lucy Silvas and Charlie Horsham there in Belfast at the weekend. From your perspective, how do the crowds differ over here?
I think this is just way more of a listening audience. It's honestly a breath of fresh air for us in a way. I think we put a show together in America for arenas, you know, and it was kind of this, tried to make it as seamless as possible, 90-minute set. When we come over here, it's, well, maybe we don't have to play that song. Maybe we can go back and play this album cut off record one because they might know it. And I think the biggest difference is that you actually listen to albums all the way down. And we do too, just not to the extent that I've noticed that you guys do. And so it's so fun to get up there and play a song off of a record that you never would have played in Mississippi or something like that, and you get to come over here and you get to watch people sing it back to you. That really is a special thing to watch.
What's your name? Is that girl? Luckiest guy in the world. No one gets me the most. Is you don't even know that you are. You are. You are. You are. You are. You are. Baby, you are. You are. You are. Star of the show.
Your father, of course, an extremely talented singer-songwriter, Red Atkins, he opened for you in Belfast last year. And what was interesting was off the back of that gig, we had so many listeners ringing in saying, I've just discovered this guy.
Yeah.
But also, I can't believe this man's back catalogue. Tell me about his influence on you.
He's written 30 number one country songs. I mean, the dude is an animal. And so it was so fun to have him come over here and open for us. And I've been talking to him, you know, off and on. He's like, you know, how the show's going? And I'm like, I'm good. But every meet and greet we go into, somebody says, you didn't bring your dad back. And so he's become quite a commodity over here. But it's he's had such a huge musical influence on me. I mean, just from being a little kid, getting to watch my dad be a singer for a living. And I got to watch him write songs. I got to watch him make records. And on the way to school in the mornings, he would play me and my sister something different every day. It really wasn't just country music. It was a lot of rock and roll. It was a lot of hip hop. It was a lot of bluegrass. It was a lot of blues. And so I think that's kind of where that's how I write songs today, is it's kind of all over the place, but it all kind of somehow comes back cohesively to making a Thomas Rhett album. But I think that growing up with a dad that played me so many different kinds of stuff made me love and appreciate so many different kinds of music today.
Did that make it easier or harder for you when you were trying to establish yourself then as a songwriter?
Way harder.
Harder?
You know, there was a lot of people in the beginning that were just like, well, I get it. Like, you know, that's his dad. Good for him. He's bringing his son into a co-write. And I'm so glad for that, because I really didn't know what I was doing. I knew how to make words rhyme. I knew how to make melodies, but I didn't know how to craft a song. And I think my dad, most importantly, taught me how to craft a hit song. And, you know, really just kind of figuring out what's on the radio right now, what's working in other genres, what does a hit sound like on country radio right now. Like, dad really taught me how to be a good hit songwriter. And through the years, I kind of picked up just kind of my own writing style. And it's a lot of fun to kind of have dad come in and write for my records, because he has to turn on kind of a different brain now. Just because my stuff is very off kilter from, you know, I guess from mainstream country radio. But it really is a blast to have a dad who can kind of be somewhat of a songwriting chameleon in a way. Like, he can go in any write with anybody and stand his own. So
you make me wanna pull this truck to the side of the road, slide on over and let me hold you close and tell you everything I'm thinking. Hop on out, let the tailgate fall, get drunk on you with no alcohol. If you don't stop, I'm gone. Well, girl, you make me wanna. Sound, F FM on a radio.
But after first obviously establishing yourself as a songwriter, you released Something to Do with My Hands in 2012, mm-hmm. and you have not stopped since.
Yeah.
I know even next year, in between another massive tour for yourself, you're also doing shows with Kenny Chesney. Mm-hmm. Where does this drive come from?
I think I've always had that drive, even as a kid, whether it was playing sports or being in bands in middle school and in high school. I always just wanted to be the best is not the word, but I always wanted to be the best at what I did. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, ever since I started this career, man, I've just had this drive to continue to meet my goals. People ask me all the time, how do you define success? And I think it's when you meet your short-term goals, you can mark those up as different successes. And so for us, in the beginning, it was, all right, we can sell 100 tickets most places in America. I would like to sell 500 tickets most places in America.
Okay.
And then going from there, and I'd love to sell it at arenas, and then I'd love to sell it at amphitheaters, and then love to sell it at stadiums. And so this year was one of those goals was met. We did our first arena tour, and mm-hmm. Getting to play stadiums with Chesney next year, just it's been a really, really fun 5 to 7 years, and I think constantly having those goals to make yourself better is kind of what keeps that drive for me going.
So maybe I could stick them in your pockets, run them through your hair, and we can get rocking. There you are, and baby, here I am, and I need something to do with my hands.
And the first single, which we mentioned there, co-written with Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
I mean, what a way to start.
I know. But nobody knew it then, you know? Yeah. I mean, we were all such massive fans of Chris, and this was like 2010 or whatever. Well, I'd get demos back and be like, God, Chris, like, you're just such a good singer. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I play a little music. I'm in this band called the Steel Drivers. And, you know, now here we are, and he's one of the most amazing singers on the planet.
Yeah.
It's so funny to have seen his success from when I knew him when I was first starting out to knowing him now. It's crazy.
I've never seen something like with Chris where when he gets up and wins award after award, you can feel the warmth in the room even when you're watching it on television.
Oh, yeah. The thing is I think all of us artists know in the bottom of our hearts that he needs his own award category.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the night, and it's like, all right, well, you won this. Now for the award, this Chris Stapleton Award, come on up, and because you basically are the best at everything. So.
And the new album, Life Changes, it came out in September. Obviously heavily influenced by both Married Life and your two new babies.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about the writing and recording. Could you feel a weight of expectation with this one?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you have the success of a song like Die Happy Man, I think anything that you do in the future, you're always going to kind of compare it to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of like really wise people say, you have to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that song was what it was at the point in time that it happened. And now it's past, and now you just go write other things and that are great. And so I had way more to write about on Life Changes that I did on Tangled Up, especially when you add two babies to a mix. A lot of things are influenced by those kids. And
mm-hmm.
I also had 2 years to write this record, so I kind of got to hang and chill and try different writers and try different producers. And it was a lot of trial and error on this record, which I think allowed me to make something that I'm super proud of. So
you probably aren't aware of this, but Die a Happy Man completely crossed over on the pop radio over here. That's special in itself.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was inspired by your wife Lauren's love of Tim's Just to See You Smile. Is that right?
Yeah. My wife was like, babe, like, I think it's time for you to write like a sweet song. And I was like, well, I mean, what? And she was like, well, Just to See You Smile is like my favorite song, so go take some inspiration from that. And so I think just her saying, I wish you would write a love song was like, okay, I'll go do that. And so literally I had these two guys on the road in Arkansas, and right before a show, this was the first song we wrote together that day. And so I don't think we knew we had something special until, fast forward 2 or 3 months later when the record actually came out. But it is very cool, like especially been playing it over here, to see just when that first guitar lick, man, people just know it. And for them to know that plus a bunch of album cuts really is just like the most special thing in the world. So
I would even find, as a DJ, people over here request it for their first dance at weddings over here.
Yeah, I've gotten that a lot in meet and greets, saying, well, we danced to that. And that was the point, that's why we make music is for moments like that. And I can't even count how many people have gotten engaged at my meet and greets or at my VIPs or people holding up signs saying, pull me up on stage, I want to propose to my girlfriend. Like, our show has become that show that you come to bring your girl to or whatever. And there is going to be that one song in there that you might have a special moment to. So.
Mm-hmm.
Final question. You've got Old Dominion, incredible band, opening for you this evening. On this tour, you've had Kelsey Ballerini, Dan and Shay. I mean, the list goes on. And I know next year, people like Carly Pearce. Mm-hmm. Being somebody who was on the tours as an opening act for some of the major country stars, what has it meant to you to now be the headliner?
It's nice because you get to kind of call most of the shots, if you will. All the production is designed by you. Your set list is designed by you. You're not hindered to a 45-minute set. You can play for 90 or you can play for 120 minutes or as long as you want to play. And the biggest thing for me is getting to pick who comes on the road, because there's nothing better than being on a tour where every act are genuinely good buddies. And, like, you get to, like, wake up and go play golf or work out or watch football games or whatever, and then you play a show and everybody hangs out afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I've really tried to be strategic about who I bring on the road. And, I mean, obviously I want you to have great music, but more so than that, I want you to be just a good person and a great hang and somebody that I can call a friend for the rest of my life. And so that's been my funnest part of touring, is getting to, you know, getting to ask Old Dominion to come on the road and be like, well, now that you're with us, let's go to Europe together. And when you get to tour with your buddies, it makes for a great time. So,
well, Thomas, thank you for giving me some of your time, man.
Of course, man. And thank you for yours.
Hopefully we'll see you back in Belfast again and again and again.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.